When it comes to you, I mean, when I got in touch with you, I was mentioning I remember watching Robin and Sherwood I don't know, 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
And that's where you're in my mind. I mean, what's it like being remembered? People come up to you like that and saying, I love you, Robin and Sherwood, and that's in their heads.
Well,
you know?
You see, Robin and Sherwood to me means something totally different than it does to you. You know, I remember, you know, being in the company of Phil Rose and Ray Winston and Mark Ryan and Michael Praed and Jason Connery, and we were the highest paid young actors in Britain at the time, and we had just the most amazing 3 years. I mean, halcyon days, filming in the most beautiful places you could possibly imagine, having access to all these wonderful sort of castles, and we just sit around going, you cannot believe this is happening to us. And they were paying us, and they were paying us more than anyone else at the time. It was absolutely incredible. So I tend not to remember the finished product, although I'm very, very proud of the finished product, but I've only ever seen sort of each episode probably twice. You know, I mean, if that.
Yeah.
And other people, you know, come up and you go to conventions and things like that, and people come up and quote the whole episode, and you go, oh God, that rings a bell. Who's that? Who said that? And they say, you said that. And oh, did I? Lovely. All right. You know, it's... it's very, very... It's a thrill to be reminded of what was a very, very happy period. And they're still falling out of touch a bit with Phil, but, you know, Ray, Mark and myself are still... although we're scattered to the four winds, you know, we meet, you know, we make sure we meet at Christmas and catch up, and you know.
Well, I was watching the first couple of episodes again the other night, just because why not? Any excuse, really.
Yeah.
And realised it's 30 years in 2013.
Bloody hell.
I think I'm right there.
Yeah, I think you are.
Plans for any reunions or?
Well, the greatest thing we wanted to do was do a television update, and we put in submitted to ITV, must be 18 months, 2 years ago, you know, a sort of reworking, just a two-hour special or a couple of two-hour specials, something like that. All the original team, all back, Ray back, you know, Jason and Michael back, and ITV turned us down, so... We actually couldn't believe it, especially with Ray on board.
I can't believe that.
I know. They turned it down. It was a great idea. Kip Carpenter had written a fantastic idea. When I heard that it wasn't going ahead, I stood there open mouth thinking, I think that's a mistake. Because we never got to finish the series, you know.
No.
It collapsed when Goldcrest went bust and HTV and Showtime couldn't put the extra money in. To keep making the series, which was a shame because, you know, it probably needed another year to wrap the story up, to pull it together for the audience, really, because it's it needed it. But it's a testament to the series that whoever has done it since has had a go, and they've all tried to emulate the style with which the production values that we had. And no one's come close.
And I love how they've all tried to pinch various ideas from new version, like Nazir and Saracen and mythology. It's just crazy. So did they ever give you a reason why they didn't want it?
I just think ITV were going through a bit of a downturn and finances and you know, probably too expensive. But
is the moment gone, do you think? Is Ray?
Oh no, I mean, you know, Ray loves it so much that you know, if he had a gap in his schedule and we were all available, and we, you know, I'm sure he'd give it another go. But
well, it says something that you'd be willing to go back to something that was.
Oh well, the trouble is, we'd all be sitting there on our chairs in the middle of a forest, just. Whether they'd ever get us up, you know, it would take four cranes to lift each of us back out of our seats up. And the thought of us all trying to do a fight now is. But that's
Robin and Marion.
Yeah, exactly. The thought of these wonderful old freedom fighters still being out there sleeping in trees and hiding from Norman soldiers and. I think the audience would have gone with it, and I think they would have loved it. And if we could have tied it up for them and given them in the new parlance, some sort of closure, it would have been fantastic. But anyway, we'll, maybe I'll suggest it that we have another go if ITV have had a good run of foreign sales. They might be able to afford it now, but who knows?
We need a little campaign, I think, a fan campaign. Maybe we'll start it with this this interview.
Well, why not? We'd all be thrilled to give it another go. I hope they've washed my costume from 30 years ago.
You have to grow the beard back, though, wouldn't
you? Oh, yeah, I'd grow the beard back. Yeah, fantastic. Yes, that's...
This is my attempt to little John, you know.
Yeah.
Not very good.
I think my worst moment with the beard was I had a very bad hangover one morning, and we were filming in Lee Woods in Bristol, and I had a baked sandwich when I got in first thing in the morning, and we shot a couple of scenes. About halfway through the morning, I just fumbled in my beard and pulled out a bit of bacon with tomato ketchup on, which had been hiding in my beard the whole morning, and no one had spotted it. So, I mean, Ray and I used to sit one end of the makeup caravan having mud and crap plastered all over our faces, and Michael Praed and Julie Trott up the other end of the makeup caravan having their cheekbones painted in, and Ray and I used to look at each other going, do we live in the same forest as these people?
The Beckhams of Sherwood.
Yeah.
And you mentioned there the other series, which your kind of most recent one, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Which potentially, I mean, it's been hugely popular.
Yeah.
And I could have a fandom for a long time to come.
Yeah.
What was that like doing?
Well, I've not been able to do the second series because I'm doing Tommy. I'd rather do Tommy than... I mean, they only wanted me for 4 days in the whole of the second series, so you can't not... You can't, 4 days is neither here nor there, and, you know, all right, it's a good series, but, you know, 4 days work ain't gonna pay for food for the weekend. So, I mean, it's, so that just has to go. I mean, I think there were 300 speaking parts in the first 10 episodes, so, you know, I mean, I'm sure they can do without great John of Umber for... who knows? They might have got someone else to play it, or you know, they might go back next year. I have no idea. You just don't know these people. They didn't know the dates. They couldn't tell me when they wanted me, so I couldn't reserve the time. You know.
And what's your kind of view? Not to be too. I hope this doesn't end on a sour note. But your view of modern TV, British telly. You know, is it? Because I know, of course, Game of Thrones is not exactly British, is it?
No. It's just so highly pressurised. There's no lean, as there are in all industries now. Everything's pared back to the absolute bone and then beyond. I mean, most organisations in this country and probably around the world are operating on the marrow within the bone, not even the bone, you know. It's, there's absolutely no leeway for if anything goes wrong anymore. There's no contingency, everything's stripped back, so it's not as much fun, I have to say. You certainly couldn't do what we did on Robin and Sherwood, which was at the end of the first series. We had 6 hours of Robin and Sherwood, and we had 3 hours of outtakes. You know, if you tried to pull a stunt on film now or on camera, you would be drummed out. You'd be sacked. You'd be out of there. It just wouldn't happen. You know, the idea of people actually having a laugh at the same time as they're working went some time ago, I'm afraid. And only a few people now in very powerful positions could possibly get away with it. But certainly a run-of-the-mill actor like myself would never, ever think of, you know, pulling a stunt on camera, you know, just to get a laugh from everyone, because the producers would just look at you and go, thank you and good night. That would be it.
I know everyone says... You know, it was better when they were young, there was a golden age, but I sort of feel that I did kind of get that tail end of the golden age, certainly as a kid watching Robin and Sherwood, which was never really meant, I don't think, for that time slot, was it? The sort of five-ish,
whenever it was, five.
But
then,
I mean, maybe it's that just thing, you know, you always remember it better, but you look at what's on now and it does feel like drama-wise, certainly, which, you know, scripted drama.
Well, it's far more formulaic, see, now, I mean, it's all the TV producers went to America, learnt the TV formula, learnt you've got to have this at this stage, it's all time for commercial breaks, there's got to be a little bit of a hiatus there, then you've got to build the second story strand in that part, and then so every programme just ends up being like every other programme. What's absolutely blindingly obvious to me is that the programs that don't do that, the Sopranos or the, you know, the Wire or the things that just fly off the wall at you out the television, break the rules, and they don't conform to those stereotypical ways of oh, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, because that's the way it's all, you know, it's done now. I will watch a program, and within 2 minutes, I know that person's going to do that. They're going to fall in love with that person. There's going to be, this is because that's the way all programs are now. But the audience just love and soak up something that's different. But people are scared of making different things.
Well, I remember going back to Robin just for a second a few years ago, getting the chance to ask Ray Winston. It was over an email. It was a magazine asking you to ask questions about the idea of did he turn down the chance to do more Robin of Sherwood? No, BBC One wanted to repeat it in prime time. This was quite a few years. It was maybe 2001. I'd heard that anyway, and he said, "Yeah, the BBC didn't want to pay enough money." This is kind of off the topic a little bit of new drama, but you know, they just didn't want to show.
I remember once we were offered a pitiful amount of money for it to go out, compared with our normal repeat fee structure, and we all said no because
maybe in the one.
Because if you agree to that, that then sets a precedent for all the other programmes, you know, and you feel you're doing your fellow actors out of their hard-fought for rights and
quick fix.
Terms and conditions, and it might sound like a lot of money to some people, but if you live and die by your performances, and then they keep, there was a famous case of Martin Shaw not wanting the professionals repeated because he didn't want to get the audience still to remember him as the character from the professionals. There is a danger in people continually rerunning your past performances because it doesn't allow the audience to accept you as doing something new, in a sense.
Yeah.
So you ought to be recompensed for that.
Yeah. Okay, well, to wrap things up, just like that, so it's going to be on Edinburgh for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, another 2 weeks tonight we finish, yeah. So.
And then after that it's...
White Van Man. I start White Van Man, the second series of that, about a week later, which is lovely. It's a very, very friendly, low budget BBC Three comedy set in a sort of a mythical place called Maplebury, but we film it in Stockport with Will Meller in the lead. I play his dad, and it's a joy to do because it's. It's actually great fun, and it's one of those programs really where you still got contact with the producers and the director, and they don't go off in a huddle and start look round at the set and sort of go doing all that, and then the director has to walk across the stage and say, "You think is he coming to me? No, no, he's gone past." Yeah, this is a totally organic, funny, happy environment, so it's a joy to be part of, and I think the audience picked up on that in the first series. It's only been shown on BBC Three so far, so whether it'll ever get an airing on BBC Two or something like that, I don't know, but it deserves a wider audience because it's funny stuff.
Fingers crossed, Tommy, we'll continue.
Yeah, I mean, the plan has always been to do it for a couple of months every year, and because it's a lot. It's an effort. I have to say, it's not a cop out. It's not think, oh, I'll just do that for a couple of months. It's, oh Christ, right? Have I got the strength to do that for a couple of months? And for as long as I have got the strength, I like to think I'll be able to turn to do it. And as long as people want to see it, if they don't, then obviously not. But luckily, so far, it's proved a very nostalgic ride for the people who know, and for the generation of people who never knew him. He died 26, 27 years ago now. There's a whole generation who've grown up, and you look out in the audience and there's kids, young students sitting there smiling, laughing, guffawing or whatever they're doing, and you go, actually, this is important that a new generation sees Tommy, because he's one of the greats, if not the greatest. So it's that's great. It's an important job, eh? Yeah.
Fantastic.